Don't be concerned about the outward beauty that depends on fancy hairstyles, expensive jewelry, and beautiful clothes. Now, I will have to say it's nice if you look decent. You know, don't let him leave in the morning and come home and you've still got on the same gown that you got up on in that morning, or pajamas, and your hair hasn't been, your teeth hasn't been brushed or nothing else, and you've been scrambling around taking care of one, two, or three kids all day long, and you're dirty and smelly and everything else when he walks in. I got to tell a joke right here, old B and Cheryl. This is yesterday. I walked into the office, and I had been out in the heat and working, and I was sweaty and dirty and everything else. I mean, I was really sweaty and dirty. It was hot yesterday. I walked in, and I walked up to her. I come right straight toward her, and I was going to give her a kiss, and she looked at me and said, "Whoa, my stinky husband." And I stopped right there and didn't kiss her, and I looked over at Kathy. I said, "Did you hear what she said to me?" She said, "Yes." She said, "You're the most wonderful husband." I said, "It's amazing how that word changed out of her mouth, how it hit your ears, how it hit mine." But Kathy said, "But I see her heart." You know, that's what came out of her mouth. "But I saw her heart." Now see, isn't that something? The way different people see different things. But see, technically speaking, I knew that about Cheryl. Anyway, yes, I was dirty and stinky, but she went ahead and gave me a kiss anyway, see? You know, so that's a good sign she still loves me. You know, when you're all dirty and stinky, she'll go ahead and give you a kiss. She did say, "My stinky husband," because I didn't smell too good, I'll have to say. But it says, verse 4, "You should be known for the beauty that comes from within. The unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is so precious to God." Now, if that gentle and quiet spirit pleases the Lord and it's precious to Him, what should be you wives' desire? To have that precious, gentle spirit, right? I mean, don't you want to please the King? Do we want to please the Lord? Well, if we do, this is what He's saying. He wrote this book. My job is to teach this book just exactly like it's written and to not deviate from it. And that's another thing that story I read about that Baxter book about that preacher that was in hell. One of the things the Lord says, He would not preach the truth of my word. He preached things like he wanted it. He wouldn't tell it the way I said it. And so that's why he's in hell today and he's been tormented. Let me tell you, I ain't going to be there. You know, I want to teach it just exactly like it's written. You know, so I want to be obedient to the King. Because if there's any place I do not want to go, it's that place called hell. I mean, I do not want to go there. Then, verse 5 and 6, "That is the way the holy women of old made themselves beautiful. They trusted God and accepted the authority of their husbands. For instance, Sarah obeyed her husband, Abraham, when she called him her master." Now, the King James said she called him Lord. Now, I remember one time I was at a Baptist church. We were having a little Christian church meeting, and the chairman of deacons' wife was giving her husband a hard time. And I called her down right in front of him. I said, right in front of him, I said, "You're being a disobedient daughter today with what you're doing." And she said, "What? How dare you?" And I said, "The Word of God says you're supposed to love your husband and be submissive to him, even calling him Lord." Boy, that bucked her up. She said, "Well, if you think I'm going to call him Lord, you got another thing coming." I said, "I think you ought to go read 1 Peter chapter 1 and chapter 3 and see what God says here. 1 Peter 3, "That is the way the holy women of old made themselves beautiful. They trusted God and accepted the authority of their husbands. For instance, Sarah obeyed her husband, Abraham, when she called him her master." Just like there was an elderly lady, one of those 60 to 70 year old ladies, Elderly, I used to think that was older, and I'm still living in the 30 and the 40 range myself, although I'm 70, so anytime I talk about somebody that's 65 or 70, I still see those people as older. You know, but I'm there too, you know, so what's the big deal? But anyway, this elderly lady, been married 45, 50 years to her husband, come to me for prayer one day. For her husband. I said, what's wrong with your husband? She said, well, he doesn't do what I ask him to do. I said, well, let me tell you what to do. I says, go home tonight, and when you walk in the door, I want you to walk over, and I want you to just look at your husband. And I said, how long have y'all been married? I think she said 45 or 50 years. I said, I want you to go on there. I want you to tell him to stand up. He's going to look up. You say, what do you mean stand up for, woman? Just say, honey, would you stand up? And when he does, I want you to just grab him and plant one on him like you haven't done in a long time. And just after you really kiss him passionately, say, I just want to tell you how much I love you. I said, what would you like for your favorite supper tonight? I'm going to fix it for you. And then I want you to look him right in the eye and say, honey, I love you so much. I just want you to know how much I love you and appreciate you. So as my Lord and my master on this earth, I want to fix anything you want for supper tonight.
Amen.
She said, he'll faint. I said, okay, let him faint. After he recovers, then still be there over him saying, what would you like for dinner tonight? Now then, do you know, just like I got a great amen from a man, you know, if the wives really love their husbands like that and would treat their husbands like that, do you know we would never have a divorce in the church?
Amen.
There would never be that problem. If the wife would submit to her husband and treat him like that and love him, she might find that she has a man that has some attributes of love in him that he's never demonstrated to her, but she's always wanted. But she didn't know how to turn them loose on him because she never did what she's supposed to do. In other words, it might be amazing, you know. She might do all these wonderful things for him. And she's been bugging him for 6 months to get her a better car. And he's not interested. And then one day, she's so nice and starts being so gentle. And she goes along there for 6 months and she's, what do you like for dinner tonight, honey? You know, anything I can do for you that'll please you? You know, and just do everything wonderful to make him happy. One day he comes in and says, you know, I got something outside I'd like to show you. Come outside. She goes out there and he got her a nice, nice newer car. Maybe a brand new one. Wow, she says. This is awesome. Well, now let me tell you, if she had never stepped over into that submissive thing, he would have never stepped over into that buying her that new car. You know that? That's just the way it works. You know, even if he was a man of means and he had the money, if she's totally rebellious, he's not going to go out and do something nice for her. That's just the way men and women are made. People do not understand that when God made a set of principles here and tells men and women what to do, he meant what he said. Now, the man that will refuse to hold his hands up in church holy and without anger and without wrath and worship and praise the King, you may never get very much from God. Did God tell you as a man to hold your hands up and worship and praise him? Do you think he likes that? If he likes that, he told us to do it, then why do we rebel against him? You know, here I was in a Baptist church all those years, and virtually nobody ever raised their hand in church. I mean, we could sing a song, hold a hymn book, and we could look just like a calf eating pickler pears and singing a song. I mean, never a smile or nothing. You know, it's amazing how so many of us are out there. And then I began to read all these scriptures and learning where I'm supposed to raise my hands. And I thought, and I always sat on the front row in church, and I like to be down there close to where the word was being given. So I almost always, and of course, too, I always got there late because my Sunday school class always kept it right to the end. So when I come in church, the church was always full at the back. You know, always everybody seems to start at the back. And so I never had any problem finding a place to sit on the front row. So I just come on down, sit on the front row. And one day God began to convict me. And I thought, Lord, I got to hold up my hand. I'm sitting on the front row, Lord. So I started like this, you know. Like this. And finally, I come under such conviction. Finally, I couldn't stand it any longer. It took me several weeks. This didn't happen over one day. The Lord convicted me, and finally I started raising both hands like this, and then finally I just got to where when we worshiped and praised, I just held them up, and I think, okay, God, I don't care who sees anything. It doesn't make any difference to me at all. And then when we moved into the new church over there in Justin, after we'd been in the other one so many years, moved into the bigger one, the new one, and one day there was a lady I met at the post office, and she said, oh, Thurman Scrivener. I said, ma'am, do I know you? Where'd I see you? Oh, she said, I go to the Baptist church up here. I said, well, ma'am, I don't ever remember seeing you there. She said, but I see you. And I said, well, what is it about me that you notice, you know, but I never had the privilege to meet you. She said, my son is a little guy, about 8, I think she said. And see, we walked into church, although the first time we visited, and she said, you were sitting way off over there. And all of a sudden, my little son said, Mama, what's wrong with that man right over there? And she said, what do you mean, son? He said, well, he's got both hands up. When we sing, he holds both hands up. What's wrong with him? Nobody else is doing that. And I said, well, honey, I guess maybe he just loved Jesus more than the rest of us. And so she said, he didn't answer. Ask nothing else. So we're singing another song, and then all of a sudden I look down at him, and he's looking at you, and he's got both hands up. She said, that's how I know you. It's because my son says, Mama, I want to go to church where that man holds his hands up that loves Jesus so I can love Jesus like he does. You never know who's watching you. You know, we should all do what God said. Was God the one told us to hold our hands up? Why did it take me so long to become an obedient son? I don't know. I guess I'm just a human being, I guess. I don't know. I hate to say that. But Sarah obeyed her husband Abraham when she called him her master, her Lord. You are her daughters when you do what is right without fear of what your husband might do. When you just love God and you love your husband and you call him Lord and Master, some women say, I ain't doing that. Well, you know, God's the one told you to do that.
We're going to have to stop right there for today, but we'll start again tomorrow with a teaching. And if you'd like to have these teachings in their entirety, if you would just give us a call, we'll be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. That's at 940-242-2106. 940-242-2106. And we'll send them to you free and postpaid. Or you can go to our website. You can listen to these teachings again from the website. Or you can get them free and postpaid from www.tlsm.org. www.tlsm.org. That's the Living Savior Ministries. There you can listen to these again, or you can order them free and postpaid, and many other teachings free and postpaid from our website. Praise the Lord Jesus.